podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
All right, let's read through this together and we'll kind of do, you know, when it's election time and you've got the worm and it kind of goes up and down, like the approval rating worm.
Yeah.
Like this is kind of how we're going to judge this one, right? So we're going to Newcastle for this. And this worker had been employed by Australia Post for more than 30 years, but then he was sacked last year, right?
Okay.
Sad.
Sad. No. My little worm's gone down.
I know. He argued the dismissal and I regret it all.
Here we go.
He argued the dismissal was harsh, unjust and unreasonable. Well, that sounds intense, so worm down. The Fair Work Commission ultimately found he had engaged in serious and willful misconduct.
A little tickle.
Yeah,
the worm's up a little bit.
The commission,
I'm intrigued.
The commission heard the man was absent from duty for more than an hour on May 7th and used an Aussie Post vehicle for a personal trip without permission.
Okay. Personal trip.
He said he had driven to KFC for lunch.
KFC.
And so I'm like,
great choice.
Great choice. But I'm like, oh, well, that does seem a bit harsh. Like, he's just used the posty vehicle to grab some KFC quickly. You've got to eat, right?
Got to eat.
He was entitled to a 30-minute unpaid lunch break but did not take it at the scheduled time of 10:40 a.m.
Whoa.
Or notify his supervisor that he was taking it elsewhere. And I'm like, well, that does sound a bit harsh, you know what I mean? But maybe it's because I'm used to being here where it's kind of like do what you got to do, but as long as you get your work done, you're cool.
It may surprise people to hear that I'm not a clock watcher.
Well, I would suggest otherwise sometimes, especially on a Friday where you're like, oh, it'd be nice to leave at 10:30. And I'm like,
That's more me regretting my life choices.
Exactly, not staying back on a Thursday.
I don't care what you're doing.
He's like, so the deputy president, Tony,
said, worm's down, by the way, so far.
Is that he was required to let his supervisor know if he was taking a lunch break at a different time or location. The man also left work 30 minutes early that day without approval.
You're
starting to lose me, right? You're starting to look
You've
taken the liberties with the lunch and I kind of back you, but now you've left 30 minutes early without saying.
That's a bit of a,
is that enough to get fired though?
Let's find out. To invert itself.
I know. So when the supervisor later asked where he'd been, apparently the Australian Post worker said that he refused to answer and told him to make an appointment if you want to speak to me during work hours.
Oh, that's very Oz Post.
Right?
That's just how the system works.
All right, you're not doing yourself any favours, although I do like the cheek.
Yeah.
If that happened in this building, I would be wild, right? As the supervisor began asking why he was being difficult, the worker said, what about the word evasive? Is that the word you're looking for? Instead of difficult, is it evasive? Mm. And the supervisor said, yes, that's the perfect word, right? So then Australia Post said that this guy had the quote, I'm going to have some fun for the next 2 years because I probably have another 2 years left before I retire.
Okay.
Now, the man has said, no, I never said that. That's a lie. But the court did decide to back Australia Post and say, well, we believe you that he said that.
Right. Worms up.
Yeah. So this guy said that the man had some fun by playing games with his employer, including responding to queries after hours when he knew the work phone was unattended and blocking messages about his absence. The commission also heard he failed to attend work or contact Aussie Post about his absence on at least 19 occasions over 1 month.
He's gone mental.
Managers reportedly sent 17 messages asking him to call the workplace and explain the situation, right? And then apparently the evidence in relation to these texts were not credible. He said that he thought the text messages might have been a scam.
You work for Australia Post. Australia Post texts you and you're like, nah, don't believe it.
Right. And then he could not give a satisfactory explanation as to why he didn't simply call his workplace to check whether the text messages were genuine.
Funny.
Right. He was then diagnosed with acute stress reaction, right, which seems like a nice way to kind of, you know, get out of things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, he was going through some stuff, but they're just like, nah. Fair Work Commission says, nah, you're fired.
He was going to retire in 2 years. You know when you give notice on something and then you're like, oh, good, 2 weeks, I don't have to care, right? He's done that for 2 years.
For 2 years.
He's like, in 2 years, so I don't have to care now. He's called it early.
So where's your worm at the moment?
Boing.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
Going to Florida for this one, mate.
Yum.
So much happens in Florida.
It's the Darwin of America, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really good way to describe it.
Well, no,
yeah.
I've heard it. I didn't come up with it.
I think I say when we talk about the reverse, when we say it's Darwin, we say it's like the Florida of Australia.
Okay.
76-year-old Florida grandmother has gotten a shock when she picked up her government-issued number plates.
Oh, okay.
Worth noting, before we sort of get into what the number plate says, it's not a custom plate. She's just got fresh plates off the line, right?
And do you know that when you do, you can't say, it's probably the same in America, you can't say, no, I don't want that one.
Oh, no.
What's the next one?
Nah.
They issue it to you and that's it.
That's all you, yeah. You get no choice.
Yeah.
The only choice you get is what it looks like, yeah?
Yeah.
And what she's gone with, I don't know if this is an optional choice by her or this is just the standard in Florida, but it says Florida at the top. And then in the middle where the letters and numbers are, in between...
I'm going to write down.
There's a bushel of oranges.
Okay. Right? Yes.
And it's like a couple of oranges on it with leaves and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and some flowers, right?
Okay.
And then at the bottom it says Sunshine State.
Yeah.
So they've ripped off Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
So Florida, oranges in the middle, Sunshine State.
Okay.
The reason she's concerned and she was a bit shocked is it goes, there's four letters... And two numbers.
Oh, I'm going to write down.
Divided into three and three.
Yep.
Okay. So it's S, Q, Z, oranges, right?
Yep.
Then A.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
Five.
Oh. Oh. Okay. So what? So I was like, how's this going to work? What it, and with the oranges don't make it better.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because the first SQZ looks like it's squeeze.
Yeah, yeah.
And the A55 looks like ass.
Yeah.
So she's driving around with squeeze
ass and some oranges in between. How is that possible?
They can't do that.
Surely that's not real. AJ's come flying in. AJ?
Just going to say, imagine if you were a bit north in Georgia in the state of the peaches.
Yeah.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
It's their radio show in a podcast.
Every day after the show, we do what we need to do. And then I go stretch my legs. I go out to Westfield.
Yep.
Down the road here and get myself a cheesy mite scroll and probably a protein shake of some sort from Coles. And I come back and I sit at my desk and I do my work and I eat and drink the thing, right? And it's to the point where, you know, the staff who are usually there on a weekday morning have started to recognise me. So you sort of do the little nod like, g'day, how you going?
Yeah.
There's a beautiful lady that is always at the self-serve registers at Coles in Westfield at that time of day. And we always have a little chat. How's your day going? Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah. That sort of just real, you know, that sort of band.
Yeah.
It's usually not very busy at sort of 9:30 on, say, a Tuesday morning like it was yesterday. And I rolled through and I did get sort of stuck behind someone as I was making my way through to get into the store through the
clear barriers. Oh, I hate that. Barriers. It's like, I need to overtake you, but that's okay. Well, I'll just walk slowly.
Yeah, I don't want to like push past or anything, so I'll just cruise. Yeah. Anyway, so this gentleman sort of just was strolling his way through.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so then I went and I'm quite selective with my cheesy mite scrolls. I like one to be like crunchy-ish and have a little bit of...
So do you have a little bite of them before you purchase,
like
the blueberries?
Not like the blueberries.
Yeah, do you put your hand in there and give them a squeeze?
No, I just look at them because I like a little bit of... I like a bit of cheese off the side as well, like a little bit of crunchy cheese off the side.
Yeah,
right.
So but you do have form.
I will... No, not like the blueberries. I won't, like, nibble one and if it's sour, then put the punnet back. I will, however...
I hate that about you so much. Honestly, I hate that about you so much.
Mate, I'm not paying $7 for a punnet of blueberries. That are sour. I'm not
paying $7 for a punnet of blueberries that has your dirty finger in there.
You'll pay $7 for a bag of bloody grapes that's had my fingers in there, won't you?
Oh, God, I hate you. Anyway, continue.
You should know, being from a market garden, you got to wash everything anyway, mate.
Oh, God.
So I'll go through, I'll pick my cheesy mite scroll, and then I go over the other side to where the fridge is, and I'll get my little protein shake, whatever. And by the time I'd done that, the guy that I was walking behind to get in had got what he needed to get and was already at the self-serve register.
Okay.
I was like, okay, no worries. I didn't even really clock that he was there, but I just put my thing through, said hello to my lady that I always say g'day to.
Bless your heart.
And then so then as I'm going to leave, You know, the now to get out of the self-serve registers, they've got the little barriers that yes. open up. And sometimes they open up and sometimes they don't. And I'm never quite sure if it's the person pressing the button, because they do have a button that they can press to let you out, or whether it's a sensor.
Yeah, and you always have to walk towards it with purpose, but also not knowing if it's going to open up or not. Mm.
So I turn around to do that, and as I step, old mate steps in front of me. Oh. I don't want to, like, I'm not going to describe him.
No.
Because I don't think it's necessary, but he's carrying two big, like, I guess, 3-4 litre bottles of water.
Yeah.
That are like the, you know, clear plastic that you can get, like, juice in as well, and it's like a... It's got a little handle on the plastic lid as well, like a dangly one. So he's like holding one of those on each side. Mm. And he the thing's open and he steps through and I'm like right on his tail because, again, I've already walked behind this guy once, right? I know we're not moving fast.
Yeah.
I'm right on his tail. And as he steps through, he stops on the other side of the barrier and I'm like, oh, right, stop behind him.
Oh, no.
And he goes...
No, no, no.
Audibly.
No.
It was a quick, short one. One that I think maybe in his mind he thought would be a silent one. And also I think he didn't know that I was that close behind him. But he...
What is going on in our community? And is this for real? And he farted on you.
Well, essentially. And I've gone... Like I've like immediately held my breath.
Yeah, of course.
Like try to close every hole. Orifice in my face. Yeah. And then once he's like cleared the gas or whatever, he's then started walking again, and I've just gone like L shape, just bang around him, and just legged it towards EB Games and
back
in our direction.
Did he look back?
No, he didn't. I didn't want to make eye contact with him, but I was just like, you cannot do that. Like, out in public anyway, but you cannot do that.
Outside, if you're outside and no one's around, different story.
You're in a bottleneck. Like, it's a bottleneck where you're funneling.
He knew it was coming because sometimes you do kind of stop and think, all right, I've just got to stop and let this one go.
Yeah.
Instead of walking, he knew what he was doing.
There's a pause and a drop of the guts. And terrible.
Oh, that's not on.
Anyway, I was just like, oh, God, I feel so dirty, so violated.
Yeah, wash yourself.
I had to go back and exchange my cheesy mite script.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
I travelled recently. We just went to Fiji.
Yes.
And
voila,
it was amazing, right? But it's so funny because I noticed that I am, you know, I'm not great with change, and there's certain things that I really struggle with. So normally, if I go to a hotel or an Airbnb or whatever, I find the first day really uncomfortable because I'm like, okay, none of this is – I'm sure it's clean, but none of it is me clean. Like, I don't know where this pillow has been. Mm. I don't know where this blanket has been. And so it takes me a while to get used to my surroundings, right? So this time I alleviated that by bringing my own pillowcase, that made me feel a lot better on night one. Good. Anyway, so there's certain things that I really struggle with, but then there's others that I don't. So I'm such an enigma.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that I have a problem with in life in general is being in the passenger seat with people, especially Jimmy. Bless him, great driver.
Yeah.
And to be fair, you know, knock on wood, hasn't had any instance that makes me not want to trust him. But it's normally driving and looking at waves, and then I'm always like, brake, are you going to brake? And every time I'm in a car with someone, I'm always putting the imaginary brake on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because
I like to be in control.
Yeah.
Okay? And the same goes for whenever we hang out with all of our mates together. They'll be like, oh, you know, we've been in situations where it's like, hey, there's these dunes down there. Let's go with the four-wheel drives and go. I'm like, do any of you have four-wheel drive training? Nah, it'll be fine. And I'm like, I'll stop you all right here.
Fun police, but you have a sort of top-tier fear, like one of your top three all-time fears is getting bogged, right? So that does trigger that as well.
I do. Okay. I like to get bogged. Anyway, so that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
But something happens when I travel. Something changes because when we went to Fiji and we had the transfer, it was about a two and a half hour drive to our accommodation, right? And so we're in one of these, you know, be like a van essentially, because we had surfboards and all this type of stuff. And bless him, But sometimes people drive a little bit differently depending on what country you're going to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the laissez-faire approach in Fiji is quite similar to when I've travelled to Bali or Thailand or whatever. It's kind of like, let's all speed and go, you know, overtake around corners and let's do all this stuff. And I felt completely safe the whole time. When I tell you that if Jimmy was driving like this, I would have lost it. But something happens on holiday when I'm like, they're a professional.
And you're like, they're a professional. But also you're like, they know how to drive in this country. They know the roads. They know what everybody else's standards are. So, and they fit in with that. I think that might have something to do with it.
Like, we're overtaking a car with a truck oncoming on the other side of the road around a corner. And I'm like, I'm fine with this.
And it's being driven by a goat as well, weirdly.
Literally, if it happened here, I would be losing it.
Yeah.
Same thing for on water, right?
Yeah.
We went on a boat because we went out to go snorkeling, and I'm not great on the ocean. Mm. I'm more of a land girl.
You are so much fun.
I know. I trust me. I hate myself just as much as everyone else does.
We don't hate you.
No,
it just must.
I'm the worst.
It's just exhausting, I think,
to be
you.
It's so exhausting for Jimmy too. Yeah. Poor thing. Bless him. And we're on the boat and he's like, nah, it's going to be all right. Like, I'll come with you. And there was another girl as well. And then there was the driver of the boat. And it was a pretty calm day, what I thought.
Mm.
But then, no. So we are launching over waves. And when I tell you I was holding onto the side and my legs were in the air.
Yeah, you lift your
like
legs.
Like a windsock.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a windsock. And I was like, Jimmy's looking at me and I'm holding on. And I'm like, you know what? I'm actually okay. If this was your fisherman mate that was driving in the boat and I was here, I would actually end all relationships and be like, I can no longer be part of this friend group.
Yeah.
But because I'm on holidays, mate, the stress goes away.
Everything goes.
If this is how I die, it's a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, fair.
You know what I mean? And they're professionals. They get it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happens. Maybe I need to be on holidays more. Is that an option?
Maybe just up here you should be on holidays more. Just like... take a break, mate.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
I've kind of run out of shows to watch at home. You know, you got all these thousands of different streaming services. Anyway, I got stuck and I stumbled across one that's clearly taken me a long, long time to finally watch. Yeah. It was first released in 2010. But I love it. And I've got a point to make about it.
Okay.
The way you're setting this up and the way your face looks right now makes me think that we're going to judge you for wanting to watch this show.
So do we jump in and judge, or do you want us to let you get to the end of the story?
No, I don't think you're going to you won't be able to control yourself. You're going to jump in.
Okay.
Okay. So Downton Abbey.
Oh, mate, that's so up your alley.
Great show. Also, I mean, they've got a point. It's like, it's like not a bad way of living. Like the servants and all that sort of stuff. They're having a great old time downstairs.
Relatable for you? I think is what it is.
So,
and they do things well.
So you're interested in having people at your house?
They get paid.
Okay, so you're not into slaves.
No.
You're into paid.
Yeah, and they seem to have a real bond amongst the service, and they find purpose through that.
My understanding is that you had that already.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's relatable because you're getting insight into what the people who work for you go through.
I'm just saying that if you were to have a little tray of breakfast placed on your knee each morning.
On your knee?
Well, when you're in bed.
Just on one knee because the other knee is for spanking.
That's my spanking knee.
You still lying in bed and you just get your little tray placed on there and you get your tea set. I mean, I'm just saying it seems really nice.
Dodsy's been asking that of you for the longest time. Maybe if you give Dodsy that experience, she will return the favour.
Well, it seemed to work really well for the Lord of the House and the the last episode I watched was they were out on their horses and they had all their dogs and, you know, they brought trays of goblets of drinks out for everybody.
Oh, yeah, I'd love that too.
Sounds like a dream, hey? Yes.
Can you make that happen?
I'm just saying, Downton Abbey, they had it wired. They are a good setup, really good show.
Yeah.
World's gone to hell.
we need to get back to core value.
Newtown style.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggie, say thanks.
So Goldie's birthday party's coming up. I spoke about this just before you got here.
Just what number? What age?
5.
Oh, cool.
Fun.
So wild.
I know.
School next year. Cannot believe it. Big deal. Yes. Anyway, so that's Monday's her birthday, but the party's on Saturday and we're going to a play centre and we've got a bunch of kids coming along, right?
Nice.
And we went to some very good friends of ours, family friends, their kids' birthday party Saturday just gone. And that was also at a play centre. Everyone had a great time and at the end of the party, there were no party bags.
Oh.
And so we had to have some real, like, calming conversations with some of the children who were a little bit disappointed to the point where our friend, one of them was like, sorry about the party bags thing. And I was like, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
That's okay. They're actually Kiwis. And so I just said, I just blamed it on New Zealand. I just said they don't do it in New Zealand.
Yeah, they're still angry about that underarm ball that got bowled in cricket and they don't give out party bags because of it. Yep.
Good reference.
Yeah, thanks. I've gone back to the 80s there. Yeah, no, sorry, everyone.
That's all right.
Yeah, down the hallway to Milwaukee. Nick would really love that. Anyway, so that was fine, right? But then one of my jobs for the party this weekend is the party bags.
Yeah.
And there's no way that my girls are letting one of their parties go past without a party bag.
See that comment? Mm. Sticking it to them. Yep. Bad.
I'm not sticking it to them.
Well,
I actually, like I said to you, I actually didn't care, except for the fact that it's probably a good thing because I end up eating a lot of the lollies because we don't want the girls to have too many lollies, and I don't need that.
Stop inflaming trans-Tasman tensions, all right? Us in New Zealand, we are tight. We've got to stick together.
I believe we just calmed down after the cricket thing.
Yeah,
so
correct.
And the thing is, Ling, is that he's not just doing party bags. Like, he's not just chucking some chups in a bag.
Not. I mean, have you met the guy?
He's never
going to be doing
he's like, it's fine. It's fine. But any kid that comes to my kid's party will walk away with, like, a show bag, essentially.
It's not, I said before, it's not quite Oscar's bag level, but it's close.
What have you done?
So I got a bit excited, and it's K-pop Demon Hunters themed. And so there's, like,
he doesn't want to give it away.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's too much stuff for the bag. So it's going to be like, have a bag with everything crammed in and then also have this.
None of it will fit in a small bag.
Well, yeah. So how big are the bags?
They're just like, they're pretty standard party bag size.
That's not a show bag.
Really?
Party bags are the little ones.
It's like this.
Like envelope size.
Like that.
No, that's one of your.
If I'm making an L with both hands and pointing my thumbs together, an L and a reverse L, that's probably the size.
No,
and then up.
Party bags are supposed to be palm size.
There's like
palm size party bags.
You fit like two snakes, one little
handful of lollies.
So it's K-pop Demon Hunter theme. There are some.
be very careful
because
Tim really stitched himself up once.
He misspoke and it ended terribly. Yeah. But there's toys and there's, because I didn't want to do too many lollies. There's actually not much in the way of lollies in there, but there's like quite a bit in craft and toys and that sort of stuff.
Okay, so you're giving a party bag and a second bag. So effectively, you're giving two party bags per kid.
Well, it's party bag and then there's like a little kit that they each get.
See? He's really, yeah.
Do I go gentle because it's his beautiful baby girl's birthday?
Nah.
Or do I give him some honest feedback?
Give him the feedback.
That is ridiculous, Tom. You do not give whatever you can fit into, as Loggie described, almost like a palm size or like a hand-sized bag. Whatever you can fit into there is a party bag. Here you go. Here's a little token, little extra sugar high for you.
Little token.
I'm glad you're leaving the party now because I want to take a break. That's the point of a party bag.
Mm. Yeah,
not a party bag, a party parcel, and an extra kit.
I wish I could tell you what's in this thing. It's like he's giving gifts to everyone for coming to the birthday.
Yeah, you realise it's Goldie who gets the presents?
Yeah, well, she gets a bag as well. Do you know, and I went to the shops and bought enough for 12 bags, got home, and then realised that there's 18 kids coming. So I went back to the shops and got more, another
he's,
six
like,
set up.
It's crazy, man. So, yeah.
Anyway, so what I want to know is, right? I've gone extra. I've done that. And
extra?
I shouldn't have. My problem is we've had these mini things of Mentos before.
Oh, I love
them.
I
ate like three packets of them and then hit the shop. So I was on a sugar high and I got excited, right? So that's
because you're actually setting a precedent and making it hard now for other parents that have to come after you.
What do you want to know from our listeners? Do you want to know, are you a tool? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I think the answer would be pretty uniform there. Yeah. No, I want to know if you need to do party bags at all, because last weekend it was super chill not having them. Mm. And this weekend it's going to be hopefully super chill having these extra next level party bags. Do you need them at all is what I want to know.
The chatter going on behind your back from the other parents when they see your party bag set up.
I'm used to it. I'm Tom. They know.
I'm used to the side eyes. 52232955. Do we need party bags at kids' birthday parties at all?
I've got other questions to that one as well, actually, if you want to just call and be involved in the conversation.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
You're, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to offend, but I do.
No, do it. Offend him.
Thoughtless?
No.
Flog.
I would accept the worst, but I don't know about that.
No, look, you are trying your hardest to be the best.
No, I'm not trying to do anything. I got carried away. And I've overloaded the party bags for Goldie's birthday this weekend.
Overloaded them to the point that the party bag's full and then you're giving away an extra kit with the party bag.
Yeah, I've just shown you photos.
Yes. So you went to a party last week and had no party bags. Mm. And you're like, I'm cool with it, but the kids freaked out, right? Yeah. So you've decided, you know what? I'm going to stick it to them.
I love them.
Are they going to be there?
When they get presented a show bag, I guess they're going to feel so good. Anyways, the question is, do you have to do party bags?
At all.
At all.
Because it was super chill last week, and I'm hoping it's going to be super chill this
week. It'll be super chill. Let's go to Andrew from Armstrong Creek. Andrew, do you have to have party bags?
No, I don't think you do. And if you do have party bags, it doesn't all have to be sort of sugar and lollies. You can go to a cheapy shop and balance it up with rubber balls and squishy stuff and that sort of fun thing.
Yes.
My son had a 12-year-old recently, his birthday, and we had a LAN party at home. All the kids brought their Xboxes.
Cool.
And I actually had hats made online that said Miles 2026 LAN party. And all the kids wore their hats on the day, and we've got the photos and all that sort of thing. And so that was the way that we sort of did the party bag favour.
Oh,
that sounds really nice, Andrew. Do you and Tom hang out by any chance?
can I come to his next birthday?
We're doing a 2027 LAN party pat for you, just for you, Tom.
Yeah, brilliant.
The extras, we call yous.
That's sort of why I went in the direction that I did with the stuff, is because I didn't want to just pack it full of lollies.
Yeah, that's
all
that's
about
what,
healthy eating. Yeah,
there is some lollies, but there's Darren's in Leopold. Morning, Darren. Do you think you need party bags at a party, kids' party?
Yeah. Morning, Tom, Lee, Loggies. Yes. If they're under the age of 10 to 12, party bags are a must, but otherwise you've got to deal with the disappointment after the party.
Yep.
But I honestly think you just need to keep it low budget and just to mess with your mind a little bit, have you taken into consideration that there may be younger siblings that might be screaming out for a party bag?
Yes, now I did, and that's why I set it up for 12 kids and then got home and realised, then this sibling's coming and then this kid's coming, so actually the count is up to like 18. So that's why I then went back to the shops and bought more stuff, because I don't want anyone to miss out.
You've catered for siblings with those plus
pack. Some siblings.
So
extra. Sorry. So thank you, Darren, but I'm right there with you, mate. I appreciate the support. You do need the bags.
If anyone is going to Goldie's birthday this weekend, please bring all the siblings. See what happens.
Bring
There'll be tears from me.
Yeah.
Bring a trailer as well. Yeah.
Helen from Windervale, what's your thoughts on this? Party bags, are they a must?
I think so, yeah, because it's not just the lollies, but it's the excitement of the day.
Yeah.
And for example, with my daughter, she had a birthday party where it was themed around mermaids.
And she had like a lot of boys come to her party as well.
Yeah.
So I made a mixture of boys and girls bags because, you know, some boys don't like mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them like miniature cars and stuff. But for the girls, they got like mermaid rings, necklaces, bracelets, wigs. Everything. It was amazing.
That's cool.
They all left as mermaids. It was great.
So if Tom had a mermaid themed party, unfortunately everyone would get a clam with a pearl in it.
Yeah.
And so those kids, you'd still be sticking it to people, wouldn't you?
You can go sell that. Yeah. Or you can hand it down to your children. Yeah.
Still very extra.
Lisa from North Geelong, you're live on the air. Let's wrap this up. Do I need or do you need for kids' birthday parties party bags?
I don't know. We're doing one at Macca's, and my question is, should I do one if we're doing a Macca's party?
Absolutely. Do a bag. Do a bag. We're doing it at Play Centre. We're still doing a bag.
Still do a bag?
Yeah.
And the cool thing is when you have a Macca's party, make sure, like, just before it's about to wind up, get a sundae or a thick shake into the kids. Get them to play on the playground really quickly. Send them home with a bag of lollies and then deal with it, parents.
At least they got a bag to spew in.
Tom and Loggy, that was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.